Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. We are so delighted that you could join us today to our listening audience, far and near. We just want to thank you for your support. We want to thank you that you tune in every week, and you just inspire us to keep going and going and going. Because when we look at our stats and we see that people are listening, people are being blessed, that is what gives us joy. We are a non-for-profit organization. We do not charge for deliverance. We do not charge for prayer. So with that being said, if you need deliverance, if you do need prayer, feel free to call us. We usually try to get back with you. If you leave a message, we will get back with you. But all we ask is a love, for love offering. If we have been a blessing to you, feel free to go to our webpage, which is kogm.net. There will be a donate button, and you can donate whatever your heart desires. So let us come to you today. We're coming to you in a spirit of humbleness. We just want to thank God for just giving us this platform that we can come into your homes every week preaching the unadulterated word of God. You know, there's a lot of places in this country where you couldn't have a platform. You couldn't even get up there and teach about some of the things that we're talking about. Yeah, they may have you to come into church, but if you go there, you may be an usher, which I don't knock that, because we all have to start somewhere. But when God has a call on your life, you're not going to be as effective if you're out there, let's say, managing the car lot when God got a call of prophecy on you. You're going to have to be able to utilize that gift that he has placed in you. And that is where my husband and myself are. We know God had a call on our lives over 40 years ago when he called us into the ministry. Now, due to the traditional religion, you had to go through a lot of hoops just to be able to preach 5 minutes. And God told us to come from out of that because he didn't want us to be bound up in traditions of men. So we have to go about the way God has led us, and he has given us this platform to come to you every week preaching the gospel the way God gave it to us. So today we're going to be talking about this supernatural battle, and I want people to be very aware that we do have an enemy. And when you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and you become a Christian, meaning Christ-like one, I'm not talking about just a title, but when you live in every day, you know, as pleasing to God, you is an open target for the enemy. I remember there was a movie called Mark for Death. I believe it was a Steven Seagal movie, but Mark for Death. Satan, his desire, he marks you. When you're standing up and you're teaching the gospel, and you are a threat to the enemy. And that's why he tries to come with discouragement and try to come with all types of things to get you to abort your ministry. But, amen, we're going to stand firm here at Kingdom of God Ministries, and we're going to go as the Lord lead us. And God will provide. God will open doors. But we have to just be humble, and we have to believe and trust him. And let's open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us another day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, you made the heavens and the earth. All is yours, Lord God. There is none greater than you. Father God, we worship you. We magnify you. We glorify your name, Father God, for you are worthy of our praise. Lord God, and we want to ask that right now that you touch our listening audience. Touch, Lord God, touch the hearts that men will hear, Lord God, that we are in a supernatural battle. And it's time for them to gird up themselves. Go ready for battle. We are in a supernatural battle, Lord God, and we ask that you bring the church back to you. Restore them back to you, Lord God. There's a lot of backslidden. There's a lot of people that has fallen by the wayside. So, Lord God, we ask right now that you strengthen them. Give them, Lord God, the wherewithal to stand in this evil time. Stand. And when you have done all, stand. Lord God, we just want to thank you, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay, so we were talking about the supernatural battle. And for those of you that are tuning in, there is a battle between good and evil. And I know we look at a lot of the Star Wars movies, and you know the enemy is trying to get you to come to the dark side. And so whatever you need to do, he'll try to get you persuaded in that area. Well, let's talk about it on a spiritual realm. There is a dark side. But Satan, he is so cunning that he can come to you as an angel of light to deceive you. Many times, this is the way he come to a Christian. If he will come to a Christian with horns and a tail, they will reject him. But he comes subtly, just like he beguiled Eve. That's how he tried to beguile God's children. Satan goes to church. He gets suited up on Sunday. He get on his Sunday's best, and he go to church just like a lot of us do. His main desire is to bring division, strife, discord among the believers. So whatever means necessary that he needs to do to break up the assembling of God's people where they can come in one accord, That's what the enemy does. Satan tries to attack ministries. Satan tries to attack families. Satan tries to attack your children, your relatives. A lot of us have relatives so bound up with alcoholism, and we're going to be talking about some of these demon spirits that are attached to some of these habits, smoking, alcoholism, porn. These are demon spirits. And I see a lot of Christians are bound up with these same spirits. It shouldn't be so in the body of Christ. But if people are bound up that are in the body of Christ, it means one thing, that you don't understand your authority and power in Jesus Christ. Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So if you are bound up with alcohol, all kinds of pharmacare, drugs, you're smoking reefer, drugs, dope, you're having sex and all this promiscuity, then you need deliverance. I know a lot of churches don't want to talk about the deliverance ministry. I know they say, well, you know, once you get saved, then that takes care of it. But what did I just say? If you say you're a Christian and you are bound up with all these different habits and things that are weighing you down where you can't run free in the Spirit of God, then you need to be set free. You need to get these things broken off your life. And I am putting a prop out to all the deliverance ministries out there that are behind the scenes that we don't get a lot of the recognition as the big mega churches or the big tele-evangelism churches. We don't get that kind of recognition. Our offerings and our contributions come directly from those who God touched and opened their hearts to sow into our ministry. But this is why we love what we do, because we love seeing God break the back of the enemy off of people's lives. It gives me more joy seeing the Satan destroy off your life than it does if somebody would give me $5, $20, $30. You can't put a price tag on someone who has been bound up, that has been set free. There is no price whatsoever that you could put. That's why I have a problem with people charging folks to get set free, to pray with them, and to cast demons out of them. I have a problem with that. Because, number one, you're not doing it by your own power. When you're praying with someone and you're breaking demon spirits off of someone, it's not by your power. It's not by your might. But it's by the power of God. So how can you put a price tag on the anointing and the power of God? I have a question. Why do people fall into that kind of deception? Because it's a supernatural battle. This supernatural battle, and this is why we have to be on guard. We can't be slack because everything is going okay in our family for now. Because I tell you, it may be going well with me now, but the devil will come back again. He's going to come back in another way, maybe through an attack of some of your finances or your children or something. So we have to always be on guard. Amen? Now, with this supernatural battle, what Satan has successfully done, he has created the ideal that he doesn't exist. So we have preachers and ministers saying that Satan is just an illusion or he's just a thought, but that he really, there's no existence of Satan. It's just the evil that men have in their consciousness created this entity. Well, I have to differ from that. And I'm going to bring you all the names of Satan that the Bible talk about. Now, if this spirit, this entity didn't exist, why would the Bible talk about him? If it was just an illusion of your mind or your mental capacity, why do the Holy Scriptures talk about him? Amen? First, we got to realize Satan was a created being. God created him. Let's go over here to, and I want to read this. It's coming out of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah 9 and 6 says, this shows you that God created him. He said, thou art Lord alone. That means God is God all by himself. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts,
the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worship thee. Now, we know that Satan was part of the host of heaven, but because of his, he fell away because he tried to lift himself above the throne of the Most High God. And God, because of that, he was a fallen being. But this is why he comes. He said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan comes down with great wrath. So how do he get to you? He gets to you through your mind, through your physical body, through your children, through your family. Yes, we're going to talk about some principalities and demons and high places and things of this nature, but let me bring it just home to your house where you live. I know we're going to get there. We're going to talk about some principalities and their ways and all that. Yeah, that's true too. But let me come to your address. What demonic spirits have your family bound up? Is it drugs? Is it alcoholism? Is it pornography? We're going to talk about some of these spirits, root demons, that are attached to some of these particular sins. And the church is participating in them. This is why it's so necessary that we teach the word. And if you're not getting taught in the churches and you're only getting these little howdy-doody sermons, that is why a lot of times the church is so bound up, because they don't know their spiritual authority in Christ Jesus. And if you're not being taught, how would you know how to gird up yourself and get strapped up, get suited up for supernatural battle? They ain't teaching you nothing. I know ain't is not in the dictionary, but I just want to bring it home so you can understand it. What are they teaching you? And we always talk about how to get more stuff, how to live your best years now. Is it more to life than just that? When the enemy is coming, he got all kinds of tactics. I mean, he is on his job. He has his ranks. He has certain categorized divisions in his army. God does too. But I don't want to downplay that we have a serious enemy. I don't want you to be sleeping thinking that all is well in my camp. Because even in the Bible, there was an enemy in the camp. What enemy do you have in your home? Are you so secure in your abode that you feel all is well? The only way you're going to root this enemy out is on your knees, by interceding, by praying, by fasting. But, Lord, don't call for a prayer. I mean, people will show up for ball games, for church picnics. They'll show up for everything carnal. But if you tell them we're going to just have an all-night prayer, you'll see them dropping off like flies. They don't even want to participate in the prayer. Honey, brother, this is the only way you're going to combat that enemy. See, we have angels that we do not see fighting on our behalf in the heavenlies. But what are you doing in your own household? Rise up, man of God. Rise up, woman of God. Okay, let's go on. I was telling you about the different names. And so they have, what they have done is downplayed Satan. And they make him some kind of, even on Hollywood, you know, they make him like he's some kind of this imaginary type of thing. And, you know, you just say, oh, it's just for our maybe entertainment. And we get a little chill. Ooh, that scared me. And you go on because he's downplaying, even downplaying this vampirism where he got the young man, real nice looking man, and the girl is just so ooh with him. And he telling her, I'm going to bite you. I want your blood. And she just, ooh. This is how the church is. Just, ooh, dog. And he telling you all the time, I want your kids. I want to destroy your marriage. I want to kill you. And you just, ooh. It's so nice. He ain't here to hurt us. If Satan don't mess with me, I'm not going to mess with him. The devil is a lie. Because he is out for your blood, honey. And he don't fight fair. So don't think you're just a little goody-two-shoe Christian going to church, hallelujah, singing holy praises, and that devil, that enemy, ain't out to get you. He's out to get everything he can. Think about Job. When he couldn't get to Job, what did he do? He attacked his finances. He attacked his health. He attacked his children. He even got in his wife. And for you that are married out there, you know if the devil can't get to you, he's going to get to that spouse. And she can vex, he or she can vex you more than anything else. You're trying to go on with the Lord, and you got somebody over there talking about it don't take all that. But he said, woman, you talk like those foolish women. God is in control here. Let's go on to the many names of the enemy. Okay, so they say he doesn't exist. Satan don't exist. He's just a figment of your imagination. There's no such thing as the devil. All the religious people, all they do is piggyback on this hell and demons. And yeah, but you, the secular realm, cut on Ghost Hunter. Cut on this supernatural. All they do is talk about how great their God is. All they do is try to make you look at their God, what they're doing, the God of this world, prince of this, the air, and you're looking, you're falling for it. You're even going to the movies and supporting them. When they put Paranormal on, you're breaking your leg trying to get to see some kind of demonic activity. You should be trying to find how to defeat demonic activity. Not going there for some kind of entertainment. Look, we're in a war. He is not playing with you. This is not entertainment. He aimed to deceive the whole world. He's trying to convince the world that he's some kind of figment of your imagination, but this is what the Bible says. These are some of his names. John 8:44, he was a murderer. Revelation 13:18, call him the beast. Luke 11:15, Beelzebub. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the wicked one. Matthew 13:39, enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, adversary. Ezekiel 28:14, anointed sheriff. 2 Corinthians 6:15, Belial. 1 John 4:3, spirit of Antichrist. John 10:10, thief. John 16:10, prince of this world. Daniel 8:9, little horn. Revelation 13:1, the beast. Revelation 12:9, dragon. Matthew 12:24, Beelzebub. Revelation 12:10, accuser. John 17:15, the evil. Matthew 4:3, the tempter. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, man of sin. John 8:44, father of lies. 1 Peter 5:8, roaring lion. Luke 10:18, Satan, prince. Okay? Ephesians 2:1, prince and power of the earth. And so you see that despite them telling you that he is just a figment of your imagination, God has mentioned in his holy word the attributes of this spirit. This spiritual being, tell me, who is sleeping in the body of Christ? There's an enemy in our camp, and we have to get him out. What is his strategy? He is out to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants your mind and your soul. This is his strategy. So whatever means necessary to get your mind and your soul, that's what he wants. He's going after the weak, the crippled, the diseased. He's coming even in through the back door. I told you, he don't play fair. He's aimed at the leadership in the church. He comes against the laity, congregation. He comes against your family. He comes with false doctrine. A Jezebel spirit, covetousness, lukewarm. He have taken the marriages and destroyed marriages. He have destroyed children. He's bringing false doctrine. And you plan? Oh, you say he's a figment of our imagination. I'm getting all this out the Bible. they did a survey here, and they wanted to do a survey on the biblical worldview. Only 9% of so-called Christians believed in a literal devil, literal hell. 9%. This is what this postmodernism has done. It has dumbed down the Christians of God that they don't even want to talk about that. They say, oh, we don't have to talk about the enemy. Oh, we don't have to. All is well. That's those, they call them old school. Old school preachers teach like that. We just need to know how to be. What one young lady told me, she said, we're more into empowerment. We're not about demons and deliverance. My preacher teach more about empowerment. Empowering you to do what? Because I'm going to tell you, every generation gets worse and worse. So if this generation is talking about some empowerment, when this Antichrist is unleashed, they're going to be the first one to take the mark of the beast. Because they ain't been taught nothing. Empowered to do what? You can't even be empowered to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy the wiles of the devil. He blinds the minds of the unbelievers. I say unbelievers, but look like he done blinded the mind of the believers. We have to be careful, saints. There is he works in the children of disobedience through entertainment, through movies, through plays. He patterned our culture after whatever the culture is dictating to you. This is what the people are falling for. This is how subtle he is. I told you, he's not going to come to you with horns and a pitchfork. Folks laugh at that. When they see that kind of stuff on the secular television, they laugh. Oh, that's just them making some entertainment. But it's a devil loose, and he's out to destroy you. They even have a secular website, and for the weak mind, you don't even need to go there. But they mock Christians. They got this, it's called the Blasphemy Challenge. And what they do, they encourage you to go to this website and blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. So you got these ignorant unbelievers going to this website, and they're taking the Blasphemy Challenge. They even have taken where we used to go, and you would have the Gideon Bible here in Atlanta. Now they got the Atheist Bible. They have to pass the law where they have to put that in the drawer at the hotel as well. See, they mocking Jesus. They mocking God. They saying it ain't all that. This is a culture that we have created, a culture of unbelievers, a culture of people who don't believe hell is a terrible place. They believe it's some kind of Lil Wayne say, you know, he's going to get to hell and he'll take over. They got them deceived. This generation is deceived, but when you take out the doctrine of Jesus Christ, then you're going to creep in something else coming in, and it's not of God. This is the tactic of the enemy. If he can take away the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about the holiness, the doctrine of Jesus, then he slip in his new age. He slip in his moral postmodernism. You see how he do? So this is why I tell people we have to be on guard. We have to always pray. Now with that, I wanted to yield the floor to Pastor Bobby because we have a lot excuse me. We have a lot we're going to be covering. He's trying to get people to turn away from Christ, people. He's teaching things to usher in this new world religion. So this is why we have to be on guard. You can see all aspects, even in our government. They pushing the homosexual agenda. They pushing all these things. They pushing that all the churches come together under one umbrella. You worship God the way you worship him, and I worship my God. And many paths we can lead to our own way of worship. And this is what they teaching. We see an evil spirit at work. We see this witchcraft spirit. This witchcraft spirit that has attacked the church comes in to confuse, to manipulate, to control. And we got pastors falling under this curse because they're looking at money. So if this particular New Age witchcraft spirit is dominating and you team up with that spirit, then you're in agreement with that spirit. I don't care how you say you're a child of God. If you're allowing these demonic people coming in your church, Deepak Chopra and Oprah and people like that coming in your church, you say you're a Christian, but really you have joined up with the enemy. And God is not pleased with it. So I just wanted to bring that out, just let you know there is a real supernatural power. If God could open our eyes, you would see the enemy and you could see the demonic realms that is out. But like I said, the main way he's trying to come in is to get your soul, to get your mind, to get your home, to get your children, to get your family. Because, you know, I got to take you there at your household because some of us, we don't even know what's going on throughout the world. They're fighting in Egypt. They're killing Christians in Egypt. And we're so narrow-minded. We're so stuck at our own home. So this is the only way I can get your attention. When I start talking about your address, because I know a lot of us, we ain't even concerned with what go on outside of our little four walls. So if I could get you to take a look at your family, take a look at some of your brothers and sisters, your children, your moms, your dads. Are you praying? Are you on your knees? See, Daniel was praying. Daniel was fasting and praying for 21 days to get his breakthrough. He was praying, interceding for the Jews that were being persecuted by the Persians. Are you on your knees? Are you praying? Praying and fasting breaks the back of the enemy off our lives. Are you going to do what it takes? Are you going to get suited up for battle? Are you going to get the whole breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation? Are you going to get girded up? Or are you playing? Because I told you, this supernatural battle, this spirit, he don't care who he destroys. I have seen this demonic spirit come in families and they get murdered. They had a sitcom talking about children murderers. He even get in the minds of children and have them killing and destroying and taking all kinds of crack and all kinds of drugs. You may say, well, that don't happen in my home. My kids are great. Yeah, but it might be in your neighbor's home. It may be in some of your relatives. Are we praying? Are we interceding? I just want you guys to keep us in prayer because, like I say, his main objective is to destroy the church. He want to break all these churches down. Because he don't want the gospel getting out. He don't want you to know the truth about who he really is. So he can, you know, masquerade like an angel of light. He can come into your home every week and all is well. And you just in la-la world. But God is saying it's time to wake up, people. Time to get suited up for battle. We're in a spiritual war and we need people, we need the soldiers of God to stand. Take up your sword, which is the word of God. Come on, come on, we need you. We need you. With that, I'm going to yield the floor to Pastor Bobby. So you guys be blessed, and we'll see you next week.
Praise the Lord, children of the Most High God. Amen. We want to thank the Lord for the word that has gone forth thus far. And reference to what Sister Montgomery brought out, and we're talking about this supernatural battle. Now, she brought out a lot of things in reference to foul spirits, demons, what's going on in the land, what's going on in people's homes, what's going on around the world. And that is relevant to what we're talking about. Because we're talking about a supernatural battle. In other words, this battle is not something that you can see with your natural and carnal eye. Neither can you feel or touch with your physical being. But on the other hand, there is a battle going on, and not only is there a battle, there is a serious spiritual war that's going on. And this particular war has been going on since Adam and Eve. Matter of fact, it started back then. And it's culminating right now. That's the reason why we're talking about these supernatural, we're talking about these devils and these evil spirits and the devils, demons, and everything else. But we also want to bring out that these devils and these demons and the devil himself do not have the authority and the power over our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we worship and whom we adore. The battle is already won. Jesus won the battle on Calvary. So, why are we talking about these things? Why are we talking about these things? Because these things are happening right before our eyes. The scripture tells us many things. It tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Now, the question is what is a principality? What is a power? I'm going to bring this out a little bit. Now, principalities and powers, they occur six times in the Bible, always in the King James Version, and it is a derivative. Other versions translate it variously as rulers and authorities, forces and authorities, and rulers and powers. In every place where the phrase appears, the context makes it clear that it refers to the vast array of evil and malicious spirits who make war against the people of God. Did you hear what I just said? They make war against the people of God. Did you hear that? They make war against the people of God. Always, people. These devils and these demons, these foul spirits, these malicious evil things always make war against the people of God. Regardless of you believing that you have to fight these things, they're fighting you. It doesn't matter. They're fighting you. They're at war against you. They want to take you out. All right? Get that in your mind. Get that in your spirit. This is serious. The principalities and powers of Satan are in view here, powers that wield power in the unseen realm to oppose everything and everyone that is of God. People of the Most High God, saints, believers, the enemy is out to oppose you. He's out to take you out. So that means is whether you want to fight or not, you better put your armor on. You better get your sword. You better put your helmet on. You better put your breastplate on. You better have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christt. Your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You better suit up. You better put it on because you're in a viable war right now. Right now, as we speak, you are in war. You are in warfare. You are in a battle for your spiritual life, and the devil, the enemy, is trying to take you out. We're in a supernatural battle, people. The first mention of principalities and powers is in Romans 8:37-39. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, these verses are about the victory Christ has won over all those forces raised against us. We are more than conquerors because no force, not life, not death, not angels, not demons, indeed nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, the powers referred to here and those are those with miraculous power. See, whether false teachers and prophets or the very demonic entities that empower them. For it is clear that whoever they are, they cannot separate us from the love of God. They cannot separate us from the love of God. They cannot separate us from the love of God. Victory is assured. It would be unfortunate to dwell on identifying the powers and miss the main thrust of the verse, which is an assurance about what God has done to save us. You hear that? But it goes back to the battle. So if you fall away, listen to me. If you slip up, listen to me. But the devil can't separate you from the love of God, then that falls on you. That means you slipped up some way or another. Because Jesus said that anybody that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. That's what Jesus said. He also said that anybody that is in his hand, nothing can pluck them out of his hands. So if nothing can pluck you out of the hands of the Lord, then you have to step out. We're talking about a supernatural battle. There's no AWOL in this battle, not really, unless you step away. You have to make up in your mind that you don't want to fight this thing. But if you don't fight it, well, the devil's still going to fight you. You have just made yourself an easy target for the enemy. That's all. You step out of rank, you disobey your commanding officer, Christ Jesus, and you just open yourself as a target to the enemy. That's all. I'm going another way here. Here's another mention of principalities and powers in Colossians 1:16. It reads, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him." Now, this is a clear statement that God is the creator and ruler over all authorities, whether they submit to him or rebel against him. Now, whatever power the evil forces possess, they are not out of the ultimate control of our sovereign God, who uses even the wicked for bringing about his perfect plan and purpose. That's Daniel 4:35, Isaiah 46:10 through 11. In other words, we can't continue to look at the things that the enemy is doing and say, "Why, Lord?" Because it's all working toward the purposes of God. And what is the purposes of God? What is the will of God? The purpose and will of God, first and foremost, is that men be saved, okay, and the kingdom of God be manifest on the earth. Well, as long as the devil is perverting and destroying men and pulling men away from God and Christ and the words of God, then men won't be saved. So he's got to deal with him, and he is dealing with him right now. The Lord is dealing with the enemy right now. One thing I would like to say is, despite what the devil does, he is not the winner, and he will not win this war. He may win a few battles, but everything that he wins is by the will of God, and also it is working towards God's will being done on the earth for deliverance, that his kingdom will come, and it will come. It's coming now, right now. And it will manifest on the earth, and God is working all this out, but the battle is still being waged. Now, in another area of Isaiah 46:10-11, it says, Jesus, we read about Jesus, ultimate power over all other powers. Now, that's an encouragement right now. So everything you see that the enemy is doing, all the battles that he's waging, and sometimes it looks like he's winning, but Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has power over all other powers on the earth, above the earth, under the earth. Jesus Christ has power over all other powers, over the devil. And the enemy, he has a short time, and his time is winding up. That's why he's acting the way he's acting. That's why he's doing what he's doing. And I'm going to go into some things in reference to the enemy right now. And then I'm going to go right back to the Lord. And says he's having disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross, Colossians 2:15. In keeping with all things, the powers are created by Christ and therefore under his control. They are not to be feared, for they have been disarmed by the cross. The Savior, by his death, took dominion from them and took back what they had captured. Satan and his legions had invaded the earth and took back what they captured. Satan and his legions had invaded the earth and drawn mankind into captivity. Listen to this, subjecting them to their evil reign. But Christ, by his death, subdued the invaders and recaptured those who had been vanquished, Colossians 2:14. It speaks of Jesus being nailed to the cross along with the written charges against us. The record of our wrongdoing with which Satan accuses us before God is nailed with Christ to the cross. It is hereby destroyed, and the powers can no longer accuse us. You see? What powers? The devil, the demons, the foul spirits, they can no longer accuse us, for we are innocent in the eyes of God, hence they are disarmed. Now, when it says we are innocent in the eyes of God, that means after we accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. Now, when you accept the Lord Jesus as Savior, then the ultimate power of the enemy has been broken. But if you do not accept Jesus as Savior, if you do not accept what the Lord Jesus did on the cross with his death, burial, and resurrection, and he is now sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us now, if we don't accept that, then we are back under the curse of Satan. Then he will accuse you of sin. Why? Because you're sinning and you're doing the things that cause him to be cast out of heaven. You see? Do you understand? So that's a supernatural battle. This applies to those who accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and you become Christ-like. You're not a sinner anymore. So when you do that, the power of the enemy has been broken in your life. And you have authority and power over the enemy because you are operating by and through Christ Jesus. You have taken on the authority of Christ that Jesus Christ has given you by what he did on the cross. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians 3:10-11, it reads something else. It says, different principalities and powers. There are heavenly realms. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we see the angelic host now being shown the wisdom and purpose of God in the plan of salvation through Christ. Angels, both holy and unholy, witness the glory of God and the preeminence of Christ above all creatures in the church. Those who are saved and preserved by his power. Ephesians 6:12. Declares the warfare in which we are engaged as we battle throughout our lives. You see, warfare? We are engaged in a warfare. And we battle throughout our lives. Against who? The rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So having been saved, we must continue to struggle to do good things in light of the sure victory promised in Romans 8. It is as though we are facing an army of dark powers who have been disarmed from real power and against whom we have been promised victory. It is our job to demonstrate and depend upon the wisdom and power of God in defeating them in our lives. We can do this by entrusting in God's victory. You see, we have to trust in God's victory because if we try to deal with the enemy With our limited knowledge, we will always lose. Why? Because he is an eternal being, and he has been studying mankind since man was created or made by God. So he knows a lot more about us than we know about him. So the only way that we will obtain victory against the enemy is through Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus and God is I am that I am. He has no beginning or ending, and he knows everything about the enemy. So we need to get our wisdom and our knowledge from Christ Jesus, because he knows everything about the enemy that we're fighting. And through him is where we have our victory in this war, in this battle. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the final reference to principalities and powers is in Titus 3:1. Here they refer to those governmental authorities whom God has placed over us for our protection and welfare, you see. They are God's representatives on earth, and submission to him involves submission to his duly constituted authorities. Now, that's in righteous government. I wanted to bring that out. Those who rebel against earthly authorities are rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, that's talking about principalities and powers, so you see it all once together. Now, I'm going to bring out some of the generals that we deal with in this supernatural battle, or more so in this war. I'm talking about the generals and the principalities of the enemy that we don't see, that is directly affecting us when we're not in Christ in this earthly realm. Now, I'm going to name some names of some foul spirits. And when you hear them, and when you see what they do and what they're over, then you'll understand more about this battle and this warfare that we're in. Now, the information that I'm getting is from someone who had a whole lot of information in reference to witchcraft, sorcery, and all these types of things. And he brought out some things. Now, the first spirit I'm going to bring out, his name is Reggie. Now, this is a general of the occult. He directs the use of such drugs as marijuana, hashish, cocaine, speed, LSD, peyote, and mescaline. These are drugs of sorcery. They attack the mind and open it up for a demon to enter. You hear that? Reggae is also responsible for seeing that music is hexed. Of great interest is the name of the lesser marijuana demon who reports directly to Reggae. His name is John, and is considered the god of marijuana by many practicing occultists. Now, these are the principalities of the evil one, of the devil. Listen to this quote from John Lennon, the founder of the Beatles. During the recording session for Revival, the Beatles worked on the track Rain, which would eventually be released as a single. It contained recording history's first use of reverse music and voices. While working on the song, John, high on marijuana, accidentally loaded the tapes backwards, resulting in a sound that transfixed him. He called the inspiration the gift of God, or Jah, actually the god of marijuana. Jah gave me that one, the first backward tape on any record anywhere. The Lennon Prophecy and New Examination of the Death Clues of the Beatles by Joseph Nizgoda, New Chapters Press, page 68. My research into occult has revealed to me that the opening of one's mind to higher levels of consciousness is absolutely critical to the development of that person to the higher levels of the occult. And such opening of one's mind is absolutely dependent upon taking drugs. Therefore, we should see a tremendous problem of people taking drugs on a widespread and unprecedented manner. Do we see such a problem in today's news? Huh? As far as today's popular music being hexed, I believe it totally. Space and time do not permit me to go into detail at this point as what the writing is. However, I simply submit to you here that people being trained in witchcraft are told that popular music, especially that targeted for teens, and preteens is hexed for maximum occultic effect. Now, we're talking about the supernatural battle. We're talking about the main generals in the army of Satan and how he works, okay? Now, the next demon is Lars. These are principalities now, Lars, and a principality is a particular demon that has a large grouping under him, and he is the head of that grouping. So he gives the orders, and his soldiers go out and do what he tells them to do. Yeah, and so we have Lars, demon of sexual lust, homosexuality, bisexuality, adultery, and other such sexual pleasures. Now, this is true. Again, our daily news is filled with sex and sexual perversions. Pornography, both hardcore and softcore, can be found in any small to large town and city throughout our land. Our TV airways are absolutely full of movies and sitcoms that literally use sex to entice people to watch. Our prisons are full of people convicted of all sorts of sexual crimes, from rape to child molestation. Video stores are seemingly on every most of which features large adult-only XXX movies. The internet is crawling with such adult-only pornography. Lars, this demon, is enjoying greater success in America than ever in our nation's history. Listen to this. One of his greatest American successes has to be the legitimizing of homosexuality and bisexuality. Now, hey, that's a demon. That's a demon pushing this stuff. In our government, throughout the land, that demon of laws is pushing his soldiers to corrupt the country. It says, listen to this here. When a person is invited to become a witch, he or she is first treated to a great big party where alcohol and drugs flow freely and sex is available to anyone who wants it, whichever way they want it. Alcohol, drugs, and wild, raunchy sex all serve the same purpose, to sever the person's old value system and conscience from their current lifestyle. Sex is also very critical to witchcraft. At its base, it is fulfillment of Romans 1:25-29, especially verse 25, where people are worshiping the creature, sex, rather than the creator. And Paul makes it quite clear in verse 26-29 that this pervasion of true worship results in all types of uncleanness and sexual perversity. We should expect to see an obsession with sex throughout our society. Are you seeing it now? Are you seeing it? Here's the next principality, demonic spirit in Satan's army, Bacchus. Demon of addictions such as drugs, smoking, and alcohol. Satan loves to capture a person in some sort of addiction, but then it is much easier to control that person for his diabolical, perverted ends. We absolutely do see these types of addiction plaguing America today. So these things that's going on in the country is not something somebody just thought up, they just decided to do. These demons, these false principalities and evil spirits are giving these people these notions and these things to destroy the nation, to pull them and make it easier for them to accept the mark of the beast and follow after this new world order. It says, listen to this. I'm sure that no one hooked on cigarettes ever thought that they were a victim of the workings of a demon, Bacchus, working to achieve the new world order. Yet it's true. We do see a literal plague of these types of addictions every time you look around. You got addictions. It's all on television. Addiction, addiction, addiction. Perversion, perversion, perversion. And yes, reggae and Bacchus can and do work very closely together to maximize their respective areas of responsibility, they and their army of demons. You see, we're in a supernatural battle, and we're going to get to the victorious part of this. But I'm going to read a few of them. You have Pan, demon of the mind. You have Medic, demon of hate, murder, killing, war, jealousy, envy, and gossip. You have Set, that he is the demon of death. Now, these are principalities. Then you have a demon that they don't have even given a name, but they call it the Christian demon. Now, I'm going to read about this. Now, this particular demon has no set name. He is so powerful that most witches won't even bother him. Getting Christians to talk about each other through gossiping and causing strife within the church and among the brethren. He will also try to weaken a Christian's walk with the Lord by making him content, fail to live up to church commitments, such as giving, soul winning, church participation, and much more. Could the persistent activities of this demon be responsible for the apostasy of the Christian church? Good question. Since 1948, the year Israel was returned to her land was also the time of the creation of the Ecumenical World Council of Churches and our own National Council of Churches. New Age authors are quite bold in saying that these movements are absolutely essential in uniting the religions of the world into the coming New World Order religion of the Christ. I have always concluded that the Christian churches hold the key to the appearance of the Antichrist. As long as we strongly held the truth of the gospel, refusing to compromise, Antichrist could not appear. But soon after, Christian churches began to drift away from key doctrines and compromise the truth of the gospel, we should expect to see the forces of Antichrist charging forward. Indeed, this scenario is occurring today. Hey, listen, congratulations, liberal Christian leaders. You have just opened the door for Antichrist. My Lord. See, now, you know the seven major divisions of hell and what each division is responsible to make happen on the earth. Can you understand a little better what is happening in our world today, in our daily lives? And why is it happening? Are you spiritually ready? Is your family, are you adequately protecting your loved ones? This is the reason for this posting. This is the reason I'm reading this. My Lord. To enable you to first understand the perils facing you and then help you develop strategies to warn and protect your loved ones. Once you have been thoroughly trained, you can also use your knowledge as a means to open the door of discussion with an unsaved person. Look, people, we have to realize that the thing that's happening now is not something that just happened. These things have been planned. These things have been planned a long time ago, and the enemy is desiring to destroy everything that God has created. He's evil. He's hateful. He's a destroyer. There's no life in him. Everything about him is destruction. Like Jesus said, he is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he's about. Now I'm going to talk about what God is doing about this. Now in Ephesians 6 and 12, where it says, "For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual witness in high places." Now, we must understand that we don't wrestle or contend with flesh and blood or human beings, but we are in a spiritual conflict with the rulers and powers of the kingdom of darkness. Now, the Amplified Version says, "So we are not wrestling with flesh and blood or contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness and the heavenly or supernatural sphere." So it's telling us that we're in a supernatural battle, a supernatural war, and we have to fight this war with supernatural elements from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It says, by using the phrase principalities and powers, Paul is telling us that there is a higher, hierarchical structure to the kingdom of darkness, where fallen angels, evil spirits, and demons are ranked one above the other according to their power and authority. These evil spirits exercise influence over people. Now, that's just what I read about in these seven main principalities that the devil has sent out over the world. You see, they go out and they do what the devil tells them to do. It says over people, geographical areas, cities, and nations, and must be successfully dealt with to experience revival in those areas. For instance, Daniel 10:12-13 speaks of the spiritual ruler that operated over the ancient nation of Persia, whose power was broken by the prayers of Daniel. Principalities are the chief rulers of the kingdom of darkness. They are first in rank of power and constitute a high order of evil spirits. Now, what I want to do, I've talked enough about these five spirits, but what I want to bring out is what Jesus has already done in regard to this. He already has broken their backs. He already has defeated them. He already has made the way for us to have authority and power over these things. Now, I talked about a lot of five spirits and all this of that nature, and I talked about what they do and what they were called to do by the evil one, Satan. But I want to talk about what the Lord says about all of this. Now, it says here, when we talk about Jesus said, now this is what Jesus said. Jesus said in 6 and 10, Jesus told us to pray this way, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Arraign us the dwelling place of God and the abode of angels." God's will is not automatically worked in the earth or in your life. It must be prayed through. You hear that, saints? You got to do some work. In Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven, arraign us, suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Listen to this here. It's the Greek word kapazo, to seize and take by force, to pull up. The spirit world can be a violent and intense place, and believers must take it by force. Jesus talks about the church's authority and how we need to take authority over the heavenlies in Matthew 16:18-19. "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it," the church, "and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Now, Strong 3772, Uranus, the realm of the spirit, "and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, listen to this. Keys are a symbol of authority. They lock and unlock. They bind and loose. Jesus was teaching that he has given to the church the authority to bind and loose on the earth what has already been bound and loosed in the spirit realm. Now, when God and Christ gives us authority, he doesn't just give us authority, he also gives us power. So we have authority and power to deal with foul spirits. It was given to us by Christ Jesus. He gave us the authority and the power to battle these spirits in the earth realm. So we don't have to be bound up and defeated and put down by these foul spirits. Now, Psalm 115:16 says, "The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." The will of God is not automatically carried through to completion on the earth. It must be sought after, prayed through, and then released on the earth by men and women that possess a strong faith in the power of God. You hear that? People of the Most High God, in this supernatural battle that we're waging, you got to have faith. Faith in who? Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith for what? Faith that we have the victory in Christ Jesus, that we have the authority and the power over the various spirits that is coming against your home, against your city, against the nation. Christ Jesus has given us that authority. Praise God. Now, listen to this. It doesn't matter how much money you have, aid and support you send to some nations, they will always be impoverished and governed by talents because they are being ruled in the spirit realm by principalities and powers of darkness. Until the stronghold that Satan maintains over these nations is broken through prayer and revival, the people living there will never be free. Remember Daniel, what Daniel did? When he prayed, God heard his prayer and it broke the power of the principalities that rule and reign over Persia. Did you hear that? Now listen to this. We'll read a few things, then I'm going to go straight to our victory in Christ Jesus. Prince of the power of the air. Now, since the Father of Man, Satan is called the prince or ruler of the power of the air, the atmosphere that surrounds the earth. Ephesians 2 and 2 says, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." The word prince is translated from the Greek, archon, and refers to a ruler, a commander, chief, or leader, you see? A ruler or commander must have an army that he rules over. Luke 11 and 15 tells us that Beelzebub, or Satan, is the chief of devils. Satan is the principal authority figure that rules in the earth's atmosphere, which is the seat of his authority. He exercises control and dominion over the hierarchy of demon spirits that oppress mankind. The Amplified Translation says, "You are obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the presence of God." That's what's going on right now. How do we fight that? In John 12:31, Jesus made a similar statement about the authority of Satan. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Now, I've said quite a lot about the enemy, so now I'm going to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did and where we should be and the power that he has given us, and then that will be just about the end of our program. But now Jesus has been exalted above all principalities, above everything that I just brought to your attention, all the devils, all the demons, all the principalities, Satan and his whole army. Jesus Christ has been exalted above all of that. You see? You see? So the battle has already been won. The war has not been won as of yet, but we're winning it. The Lord is winning it. He's winning it. He's winning it. Now listen to this. Colossians 1:16 tells us that all the angels and principalities, the good and the bad, were originally created by God for and by him, or through Christ were all things created, that are in heaven, the realm of where God and angels live, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All angels and spiritual rulers were initially given their position and authority by God. However, when Satan rebelled against the sovereignty and the dominion of God, some of these angelic rulers rebel with him, and today they use their power to work against the gospel of Christ and to oppress the nations of the world. Jude 1:6 reads, talks about some of the angels that rebelled with Satan, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. These angels did not remain in their own realm and native state, but rebelled against God and sought to produce offspring with the women of the earth." That's okay, Genesis 6, 1 through 4. "While these angels have been locked up and no longer pose a threat to the people of the earth, there are still many other fallen angels who are ruling as principalities in the kingdom of darkness and oppressing this planet." You see the battle that we're in? You see the warfare that we're in? To right these wrongs, God sent Christ to the earth to pay the price for man's salvation and to regain the authority over the planet earth. Ephesians 1:19-20 brings this out. It describes the power that was released when Christ was raised from the dead, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his might power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The name of Jesus Christ is above every name on the earth, above the earth, and under the earth. The scripture tells us every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. So these foul spirits running around trying to destroy, telling people that there's no God, putting it in the minds of atheists that there's no God, putting all this mess in the world, they're going to bow their knee to Jesus Christ. They're going to submit to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can encourage ourselves in that we haven't lost anything, but we have gained everything through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Whew. 1 Peter 3:22 says that Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being subject unto him, and ye, the body of Christ, are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. When we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our life, we are seated with him, far above every principality and power in the spirit realm. We have to believe that, people. We have to receive that in our spirit. That because of Jesus Christ, we have authority and power. We can bind and loose these foul spirits. We have to believe it and walk in that and work towards that. We got to pray and fast and believe what the word says. And believe what Jesus Christ has told us by his word. Wow. Praise the Lord. You are complete in him is translated from the Greek 4137 plural and means to be filled to the brim, liberally supplied and consummated. It's a fulfilled 51 times in the King James Version. When Christ was raised from the dead, he completely fulfilled all the Old Testament promises and prophecies, which affected our total release from the kingdom of darkness. In fact, Jesus told the disciples in Luke 10:19, Behold, I give unto you power, authority, exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, not some of it, but all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we have been given authority over the devil and all the power of the enemy, which includes principalities and powers of darkness. But another thing he said, shall by any means hurt you, but he said, be more encouraged that your names are written in heaven. See? The most important thing is that you have the right relationship with God and Christ and that you are saved and that your name is written in heaven. But he has given you authority and power. He has given you authority and power of the enemy. Now, Christ stripped the devil and all these principalities and all these demons of their power. But they're still exercising some authority, but it's of rebellion. They're disobedient. They're hard-headed. They don't want to accept their defeat. But they know they have been defeated in Christ Jesus, but they don't want you to know it. Why? So that they can keep you bound and keep you from God. That's why. Colossians 2:15 gives us further insight into the change that Christ's resurrection brought to the rulers of the kingdom of darkness. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The word spoiled is the Greek number 554, epidumai, and means to strip off, as in taking off garments that are clothes about one. In other words, Jesus stripped them of their armor, strip them of their weapons of warfare. Jesus stripped them of all of that. They really can't fight the way they used to could fight because Jesus beat them down and stripped them of all of that. Jesus stripped off of himself all the principalities and powers of darkness that was gathered against him and triumphed over them through the power of his resurrection. I'm going to read a little more, and then I'm going to be closing, and I just have a few more minutes here. It says, there is no doubt that Satan and his hosts gathered together to attack the soul of Christ while he was enduring propitiatory sacrifice, the judgment due to our sins. Doubtless the powers of darkness gathered against the Lord at that time, fiercely assigning him to the utmost of their power. The metaphor of putting all from himself these powers seems to stand simply as a vivid description of his repulsion of their attack and of the power by which he completely overthrew them. When Jesus triumphed over these forces of darkness and stripped them off of himself, he opened the door for anyone who genuinely puts their faith in Jesus' sacrifice to escape the punishment of hell. At the same time, Christ fully empowered us through the power that is in the name of Jesus to successfully resist all the devil's attacks against our body, our mind, and our spirit. Praise the Lord. Colossians 2:15 also tells us that Christ made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. The word triumphing is translated from the Greek, 23:58, triphon, and means to celebrate and lead a triumphal procession. Barnes Dictionary says, as a victor displays his captives or trophies in a triumphal procession, Christ shows the angelic beings in their true inferiority. States says Christ's resurrection, Colossians 1:13, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When Christ triumphed over the principalities of darkness, he delivered the people of God from Satan's authority and translated them into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of darkness no longer has any authority to rule over your life if you are a child of God. Did you hear that? If you are a child of God, then the devil has no true authority over you. He's not supposed to bind you up. He's not supposed to have you under his reign or in his grip. Jesus Christ has blocked and destroyed all of that. So you don't have to lose battles in this warfare against the enemy. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has given you all the armor, all the weapons you need to fight and win in this battle. Because he has already won the battle. He's getting ready to win the war. So we have to change our mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, for victory. In the supernatural realm. In the realm of the spirit. Stop looking at the natural realm, and focus your eyes on the realm of the spirit. And you can win. You can win. You can win. You do not have to be bound by foul, unclean spirits. You do not have to succumb to the principalities of the evil one. You don't. You don't. Our Lord and Savior, God has principalities and powers too. We have help. We have angels on our side. We have the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ has already won the battle. God has made us free through Christ Jesus. We don't have to be bound. We don't have to be bound. We do not have to be bound, saints of the Most High God. God has given you, through his Son Jesus Christ, the authority and the power over all foul spirits that is trying to operate in your life. But you have to believe that. Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. What was he talking about? He was talking about the powers of the enemy. If you believe, then it is possible for you to have complete victory in your life in the realm of the spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. You can have victory. The devil doesn't have free reign in your life anymore when you come to Jesus Christ, when you accept him as Lord. You can win this supernatural battle, but it has to be by and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's got to be by and through the word of the living God. It's got to be by and through the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be by and through our Father God. That's the only way we can win this battle, this supernatural battle. You have to get in your word. You have to pray. You have to accept the Lord as Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's the first and foremost. You got to be saved. You got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to get in his word. You got to fast. You got to pray, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against devils and demons and principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're really fighting against. Things that we can't see. How are you going to fight something that you can't see? You got to get some kind of vision from somewhere, and our vision is by and through Christ Jesus. Oh, glory, hallelujah. We only have about 3 minutes left on the program. And I pray that you all got something out of this. And we're going to continue. We're going to go into this more and more. We're going to get some more people who have been involved in a supernatural battle, and we're going to let them talk about some things. But we just want to open the door a little bit. We just want to touch your mind and touch your heart, touch your soul, and let you know that this is no light thing. This is serious. This is, as they used to say, serious as a heart attack. Do you hear what I'm saying? People, we're living in the last days. Just look around. Look at the stuff that's happening. There's things that's happening now that has never happened. And it's never happened before, but it's happening now. Why? Because the end is drawing nigh. And the enemy is doing his last-ditch effort to try to draw and trick as many people to be lost. But God's people don't have to be lost, because they can get into the word of God. They can believe in Christ Jesus. They can be saved. They can accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. And at this time, and we're coming to the end of the broadcast, the Blog Talk Radio program. We're ending it right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we lift up your people today. We ask that you touch their minds and their heart, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Give them a greater revelation of the word. Strengthen them in this battle that they're in. Let them know that they have truly the victory in Christ Jesus. Strengthen their hearts. Strengthen their minds. Let them know and realize that the enemy does not have all the power. Jesus Christ is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. And God has given us the authority and the power over these foul spirits that would desire to bind up God's people. We come against these spirits, we bind them up, and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against them right now in Jesus' name. And Father God, we ask that you touch the hearts of the people out there, that they would desire to see Christ for salvation and for deliverance in Jesus' name. We bind up every spirit of oppression. We bind up every spirit of possession. We bind up every spirit that would oppress God's people. We come against every spirit of infirmity and sickness and disease. We bind them up right now. We cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. You all be blessed, and we will be looking for you to listen next week. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Amen and amen.